Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, here we go. It's another show, Patriot Nation Radio, live at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Please share if you're in the live feed. We're going to go live here in just a second with our featured guest, Chuck Biddles, American trucker, talking about what's shaking in the trucking industry, regulations, red tape, and the hackable electronic logging devices that these folks are using to track the hours of the truck drivers and how hackable it is. I'm trying to get my soundboard to go. It ain't soundboard. So here we go. Ready? I think it's going to hit right now. Nope. What's happening? I don't know. My soundboard's not working, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to chime in, 347-637-3942. Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. Let's try this again. I don't know if it's working. I'm not getting nothing. Oh, well. We got some things coming up. We got this Thursday is going to be a crazy show. And if you want to know what's going on. Oops, here we go.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Man, oh, man. I only clicked that like 2 minutes ago, and it finally comes up. So it's kind of kooky. Okay, I'm gathering that my internet connection is fluky again. I don't understand it. I got a new modem. I got a Wi-Fi booster. This is fucking 5 times. Oh. See?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live. 347-637-3942.
The crazy world of internet radio and the Blog Talk Radio website. We are live. Here we go. I'm just trying to share the show around. So, folks, if you're there in the live feed, awesome. I want everybody to make sure they get over to www.DaveBrayUSA.com. And get your copy of Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, LibertyRush.com, social media without the liberal rhetoric, and the censorship and the jail sentences. You want to go over there with them folks and check them out. They're doing great stuff. PatriotShit.com with my good friend Paul Riley. Of course, they got a Patriot Summit coming up, and we'll be talking about that here, I guess, maybe pretty soon. I should probably get it on the schedule and bring the awareness to the people so they know what's shaking. With this whole deal, the Patriot Summit that's coming up. Now I'm creating a watch party, folks. Just come along and join the watch party. I don't know how to silence it. Down low. There we go. Phone calls blasting. All right. I think I got it now. We can watch the watch party. Please join the watch party if you're there. Give me a thumbs up. And we are live. Let me do something real fast because I got to screen this call. I want to see if this will work. I just want to screen the call real fast and make sure I got my guest. So what's going
to
happen?
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer is passed, and
They actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level. And fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA. Right now on Facebook, that's DaveBrayUSA.com.
Dave, that's our good friend Dave Bray, doing great stuff. I want to say hello to everybody chiming in. Linda, Will, Ray, Bill, Kathy Cam's watching, Gary Binford, Nation Savers, Lisa, Belinda. Hey, Belinda, been a long time. Welcome to the show. Leonard Bacani is watching. Folks, C-Vine International News Network covering military tribunals that have started this past January 2nd at Gitmo. You want to make sure you check out C-Vine International. Brian Lang, Live Truth Radio, he's there in the live feed. And Lisa Joe, you want to make sure you find her. They're doing some great video work in the Arizona area, like Melinda Oporto is doing in the San Diego area. In fact, we got folks down in Calexico, where you've seen the president this week. He was down there, Trump in his wall, you know, and I love my president. I got my hat. But these guys are getting over it. It's crazy. The wall is massive. She videotaped a guy that just got over the wall, swimming across the river, running off and hiding in a junkyard. Head over to Melinda's page, and then they got a naysayer. That's not the new wall. I can't believe you people watch this crap. This is propaganda. This is lies. That's the new wall. So, Melinda, just to silence the naysayers, Melinda and I believe Amy went over to the wall with their cameras and said, here we are. You know, here's the wall. This is the new wall in Calexico, California. And, well, naysayers are naysayers. They will always naysay. But without further ado, I got to get this show rolling. Oh, we lost Chuck. Chuck has dropped off the line. Let's tell my friends here. Chuck has dropped off the line. Hey, if you're in the queue, and you are part of this slow roll that's getting ready to occur. Oh, there's Chuck. Press 1, and we'll try to get you on. Private message me on Facebook, too. If you're one of the truckers and you're in the queue and you want to come on, just send me a little note in my Facebook Messenger, and then press 1 on the switchboard, and I'll bring you in. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, American Trucker Chuck Biddle. What's happening, Chuck?
What's going on, Mark? How are you doing this evening?
I got nervous. I saw you drop off. Must be the poor area that you're in. Are you on the road right now, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea how important the job of the American trucker really is to your comfy, cozy life at your home. You got a nice TV on the wall? A trucker made that happen. You got some milk in the fridge? A trucker. You got furniture? A trucker. Computers? A trucker. Flooring, a trucker. Windows, roofing, sod, concrete, a trucker. Garbage man comes, a trucker. All right, there's all different kinds of truckers, of course. But they are responsible for your wonderfully comfortable life that you live, believe it or not. Without them, the products that you have in your home today would be a lot more expensive because it would be hard to get it to you. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're 100% true. It's we are the heartbeat of this country. If truckers stop, this country comes to a stop, and it wouldn't take very long. Like you just said, we deliver pretty much everything that a person needs nowadays to live, you know, from anything you can think of, from anything you can think of.
Printing paper, earbuds so you can listen to the Patriot Nation radio show. Light bulbs, I mean everything, folks. If it's on a shelf, it was on a truck at one time. Believe it.
Yes.
And so right now, there's a lot of things happening in the trucking industry pertaining to red tape regulations and electronic logging devices. Is there, what kind of issues are you guys having that you can tell with the electronic logging devices right now?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, I guess, would be is it's a continuous clock. So the clock never stops. When I clock in to do my day's work, which I get 14 hours a day, I get 11 hours of driving. Once that clock starts, it don't stop. You know, you get a 30-minute break in there that you have to take a mandatory lunch break. But like I say, old school, you know, the guys out here that's been doing this forever, they got a certain way of driving, certain way of the way they do things. You know, you might want to take a break in the middle of the day, get you a couple-hour nap. Well, with the e-log, you can't do that no more. You know, you got to run with this clock. Now you're racing a clock to try to get your day in. So it's getting dangerous out here, and then you have these guys come out that don't have the training to do this job, and now they're racing the clock. So it's causing a lot more deaths out here.
Right. And so over the last, say, 10 years, do you have an idea of the increase in deaths because of the electronic logging device? Is there any statistics?
I'm not the number guy. It's hard getting a lot of that, but I know in the last couple of years, watching everything, in the last couple of years, that the ELD's actually been coming on a lot stronger, you know, before the mandate and then after the mandate. I know we've went up in trucking fatalities significantly. I know it's went up quite a bit. They're still doing studies on it, but it has went up. It's shown that it's went up. Their whole thing was that it would save 26 lives. That's what their whole push was with the CLD. It's going to save 26 lives.
26. They put the whole system in place to try to save 26 lives.
To try to save 26 lives.
In some things, we say one life is too many, so maybe they're looking at it that way. If one person is going to die, that's one person too many, and we got to try to stop it.
You know,
maybe
and I don't want no one to lose a life.
In a perfect world, maybe that's what they were thinking. One person in Congress thought that when they were coming up with this plan.
Yes. Cause, I mean,
maybe two.
Not only is the ELD costing lives here still, I mean, people are losing lives. People are losing their businesses now. Drivers are going out of business because they can't make it.
Right. And it's hard for the independent truckers, right? How difficult is it for a guy who has his own truck and he's trying to make a living?
Well, it's way hard. And that's I'm a company driver. A lot of people think I'm an owner-operator. I'm not. I'm a company driver. So it's way harder on owner-operators. You know what I mean? I don't know all their bills, everything, but I know it's way harder on the owner-operator than it is the company driver. Like, say, me, for instance, I'm not out all the money that they are. They pay, like my boss, he pays for the ELD. You know, he has to pay the monthly service on it. So that's something that I wish that we had an owner-operator on here that could talk to you and explain more from the owner-operator side of it. Because I know it's costing them a lot more, you know, than it is me saying as a driver. I know my boss is out a lot more.
Well, how about let's go like this. If you're a independent owner-operator and you want to tell us what it's like for you to be driving on the road, give us a call. The number is, let's see if I can get it to play. The soundboard's kind of tricky. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a one click. One click. Here we go. There it is. Let's see what.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
If you're an independent trucker, owner-operator, give a call, press 1. And I want to say hello to someone who just found out about our show, Lori Cook, in the live feed. Welcome, Lori. Thank you for tuning in. Please spread the word. Share around. We are doing nothing but truth, justice, and the American way of life. You know, we love the Constitution. We love our country. And we love our police, our military, and our truckers. Folks, these are the forgotten men and women who really are the lifeblood of our nation. And if they're being squeezed to death by regulations, however are they going to bring the goods to your shelves? You know, it's bad enough right now that we have floods in the Midwest where a million calves have been killed and a million was destroyed. Food prices are going to go up. Now just think about if while these food prices go up, the American trucks go, you know, we're tired of this crap, and they decide to take 2 weeks off. Guess what happens? It only takes 2 weeks for the grocery store shelves to empty. Be fighting in the streets for a scrap. You know what I mean? That's it. Folks don't understand that, the importance of you guys and what you guys do.
Correct.
We're getting bad feedback on the watch party. I think I'll end the watch party. If you're in the watch party, head on over to my page and get on the live feed there. I got to end that live. It's not working out. I don't know how to do it, though. I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm new to this live feed, this watch party. I don't know what to do.
Right. You know, that's another thing with ELD people need to realize. You know, just like you said about product going up, you know, that's going to cause product to go up. That's also, like, I haul produce. I'm a reefer. That's going to cost more time to get to locations of where it needs to be. So now you're going to get less shelf life. You know, has anybody noticed that lately when you go in and you buy some produce? Have they noticed that they don't have as much shelf life as, say, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that? That's what people need to look at. The ELD hinders us more from doing our job. You know, and something we hear from a lot of people that are in the industry, not in the industry, they say you got to plan your day better. Well, you know how hard it is to plan a trip to run, say, 2,400 miles one way when you have weather, you have people that can't drive, that cause accidents, that shuts down freeways. You know what I mean? You can plan a trip, but you don't know what's going to happen in that trip, you know?
Right. You can have a snowstorm. Anything can happen.
Yes.
So you guys are really starting to get fed up with the rules and the regulations and the failing ELD system, the cost of lives that are going up because of the electronic logging devices. How can you protest something like that as a trucker? Can you go to? I remember a few years back they went to D.C. They did locked down D.C. with the truckers, and the truckers went in and helped the veterans carry the barriers away from the World War II memorial and stuff like that. Would you guys be doing something like that in the future to try and bring awareness to the plight of the American trucker?
You know, we've been trying everything. You know, it's just like in this fight we've been in. I've been in this fight now since Operation Black and Blue, which was in 17. And I met with a few people and got involved in it. And the time I've been in it, there's been a lot of stuff tried, a lot of stuff done. You know, people went a lot of different angles to get attention. I've been to Washington twice myself. I've set meetings. We've talked with people, and it's like it falls on deaf ears. It's like they don't understand truckers. And it's getting to where we're seeing it's more of the mega companies, the big companies, the money. It's money behind everything. And they're trying to push the little man out. You know, they're trying to push the owner-operators out. They're trying to remove us and go to the big megas. You know, it's coming down to that point now. You know, like I said, I've been taking a hell of a bashing from people in this industry and out of this industry because of my opinions and my views on things. And it's just coming to that point with what else can we do? What are we left with to prove our point? What are we left with to show everyone that truckers have more power in this country than people want to believe? When these trucks stop, this country will come to an end. It will stop rolling, you know? So it's got to the point where a lot of these truckers are going to start taking a vacation. They're going to start shutting down. They're going to refuse loads. Product's not going to go nowhere. You know, your freight's going to shut off. And a lot of people have been at us that we're trying to hurt people, you know, we're trying to hurt the public, and we're not here to hurt no one. I also am a consumer. So guess what? I'm taking it from both sides. I'm taking it as being a trucker out here trying to do a service to America and make a living and be safe, and now I'm going to take a hit as a consumer, you know? So we're getting it from both ways, and it's just coming down to where, what else do we do? You know what I mean? It's just we have to do something to get it out there, to get people to understand we're asking for help. We're not here to hurt no one. We're here to try to fix an industry and help America.
Right. And we got someone in the live feed, Todd Campbell. Park trucks on the National Mall last October will be an annual event. It's 104DC.com. So I guess they're going to be going out and doing it again. You guys really are important to this nation, more so than folks could ever imagine. I can't even say it enough, so I may say it 1,000 times during this broadcast, because I really feel how important it is to truckers.
They don't. You know how many arguments I've gotten into with people, and I hear, well, there's rail cars. We got trains. Well, show me how many Walmarts are the train track in front of Walmarts. You know, you run trains. You can only run so many trains. And go ahead and run trains, but it's got to get from the rail car yard to the stores. It has to be. There's a truck involved with all freight. I'm sorry to say that, but there is. And we are, I guarantee you, we are some of the most disrespected people out here in an industry. We are so disrespected by everybody. I mean, we disrespect each other. It's gotten to where the industry, trucking's went to hell. Yeah, I mean, it's gotten so bad out here, it's unbelievable. I mean, you got truckers killing truckers, you know? It was a family out here that you could help each other. You could rely on a trucker no matter what. And nowadays, you can't. You just can't.
And what about newer truckers? I know a lot of guys that have been trucking for 20, 30 years. What about guys that have been trucking for, like, 5, 10 years? Are they coming in without the vast knowledge of the roads and stuff? And are they a danger? They're under-trained and under-educated?
That's the thing. There is no real training in this industry. That's my number one complaint, no matter what anybody seems to think or say. My personal thing, to me, there's so much wrong in this industry, but training, in my eyes, would be the number one. Because no matter what you do, if you got rid of ELD, if you change the hours of service, whatever you do, nothing is safer than training someone properly. Now, I know they've changed the to be a trainer thing. You know, to be a trainer was, you know, a couple months out here, you can become a trainer for the big megas. Now, I believe it's going to be 2 years mandatory to become a trainer, which to me, still, that's not a lot for you to be training people. Me, I think it should be a minimum of 5 years out here. You need to go through every weather, you know, everything like that, snow. You need to go through all this kind of stuff before you can sit down and train someone to drive a truck. But as far as is the driver themselves, there's no set hours or anything like that that this person has to have before you get behind the wheel. So you could go down right now, take a test, get you a license. If a company's willing to put you behind the wheel of their truck, you can start driving a truck. So that's the thing. These companies, it's a puppy mill. They bring them in. The government gives them so much money to bring these people in. They throw them in a truck. After a couple weeks, you're good to go. Boom, they send you out here. These guys know nothing. Nothing. That's why they got the automatic. Put it in automatic. Anybody can hold the steering wheel. But let someone go down the road, you know, 65, 70 miles an hour, 80,000 pounds, and a 60-mile-an-hour gust of wind catch you sideways in a truck. You know, there's so much things can happen out here. And these guys don't know none of that. They think because they got a license, you know, you pass them, they got 1 foot up on the dash, earplugs in, hell, TV going. I mean, it's so crazy to watch them out here nowadays.
Hey, my friend Paul has just joined in the live feed. He's in the group chat with us. Paul, you are an owner of your own company. It would be great if you could call in and tell us how the restrictions are hurting you. And the ELDs and how it works for the owner operators and those who are small business, how it's choking you guys. Paul, if you want to call in, it would be great. I'm going to stop the number here. Right in the live.
You know, that's you have all these people, just like, you know, in America. Look at now how the generations have changed and how they're taught and the things they're taught. It's like these new drivers coming up. I've talked to quite a few of them, and they're instructors at the schools or anything like that. They're trainers there. Some of the trainers in the megas tell them, don't listen to the old guys. They don't know what they're talking about. They've done this. They've done that out here. You know what I mean? But it's these old guys that's been out here 30, 40, 50 years that's paved the way, that have built this industry out of blood, sweat, and tears. You know, they didn't have a nice new truck with a big screen TV and cable and power steering and all this and that. They didn't have none of that. You know, they come out here in vehicles with no power steering, hell, no ACs, you know, and built this industry. And I think it's pretty sad to what it's become to where all the young ones just, I mean, blatantly disrespect the veterans out here, you know. And that's why a lot of the old guys are against the new guys. And that's like, it's making everybody fight each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And how long have you been driving, and what kind of training do you have to go through today?
I've been in trucking my whole life. I've held a CDL for about 31 years, 32 years, and I learned from my dad. You know, that's where I learned. I didn't go to school, nothing like that. My dad taught me. I'd been in a truck. My dad put me in a truck. Hell, I did a load. I didn't even have a license. My very first load, anyone that drives out west knows the Grapevine off of I-5 out there. I lost my brakes. First time I ever come down that thing in a loaded truck. And I survived, made it to the bottom. I learned real quick some things you don't do real fast, you know. But I had my dad that popped me back in the head for doing stupid stuff. You know, it wasn't like he threw me behind a seat. Okay, I can do this. Okay, we'll just push you on through, get your license, and go. But that's where I grew up, the old way, you know. And I have not been an over-the-road driver my whole career. I did a little coming out when I learned. I've done some things, 11 Western states, come out and done a few things. And then I went local, done a lot of local things, done like Oregon area, Utah. I got into heavy equipment, you know, stayed all in the industry. But once I come back out here and come out and started doing this, the last few years is when I realized how bad it had gotten out here and how bad guys that were that over-the-road guys that have been out here for so long have been treated, you know. And that's one of the things getting into this fight. Like I tell a lot of people, I've been in the industry long enough that I can retire. You know, a lot of guys can. A lot of guys are ready to move on. But no matter what, we're consumers. Without trucking, we're screwed. Even when we're done driving, we are still screwed. You know, so that's why I've been so much into fighting for this thing. You know, and it's trucking's paid for my life. My livelihood,
right.
My whole life. So it's paid for my life. You know, so but people's got to understand, without trucking, we are screwed. So we need to get it fixed. And you think about it. What has the government got into that they've fixed or that's been any good after they've been in control of anything? You know, since they decided to take over the industry and jump in here and start doing this and that, the regulations have gotten so bad. It's just so overregulated. You know, it's like someone goes to work at McDonald's. They can get written up, maybe docked an hour pay on something. I don't know, you know, get suspended for the day from work. You know, we come to work, we can go to jail.
Yeah.
We come to work, I mean, it's bad for us when we screw up. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's so bad on us. We don't know, like with now, with ELD, I tell everybody, it's pretty much when you go to work that morning or that evening, when you head out, it's just what ticket are you going to take for the day? That's what it's come down to. You know, no parking. You know, what are you going to do? Take it, no parking ticket. You're over hours on your ELD. What are you going to do? Figure out what you got to do. All the
right.
time trying to make money to support your family.
Right on. Folks, we are talking with Chuck Biddles, American trucker, being abused by the regulations and red tape. And
you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And right now, Chuck, my friend Paul is joining us. He is an owner-operator, has his own small business. Paul, say hello to Chuck. Chuck, say hello to Paul, and welcome to the show, my friend. Long time no speak.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. Ned, how you doing?
I've been better, been worse, so I can't complain, man. But, you know, we all know that this, you know, this the things that they're doing to us, we're more heavily regulated than airline pilots, if that gives the listening audience any idea of how many regulations we have. It's ridiculous.
Right. So if you didn't hear that clearly, truckers right now have more rules and regulations than airline pilots. That's right.
You know, now that you said that, Paul, I had thyroid last year. And me and my surgeon spoke to it. We're actually overregulated more than my surgeon.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I just started my own company 2 years ago. I've been in the industry for 13 years. Matter of fact, the first truck I ever had, I pulled up in front of Mark's house. It was my second load I ever had. And I called Mark up, and I pulled up to his house. We sat and talked, and he jumped in the rig. I'll never forget that day. It was pretty cool. And I've gone from that to owning my own company. And the ELD situation, when I came in, I was working for Werner. And that was the year that started the ELD pilot program. Now, for those who don't know, Werner is one of these multi-conglomerate that's huge. They're like, I think, the second or third biggest in the country. And they're the ones that got the ELD started. And the reason that they started it is so that they could split loads with drivers, still make their revenue, but it was cutting the miles that the drivers were getting, and the drivers were getting paid by the miles. So if you get a load, let's say you start in California, and you have a load going to Florida, they'll cut it off in Arizona and have another guy take it from Arizona to Louisiana, and another guy from Louisiana to Florida. Now, the company, they still make their money, but the drivers get shafted because they don't get all the miles. And another thing that the ELD is forcing drivers to drive tired. Now, let's say you have a delivery. You start your clock. We have a 14-hour clock. And in those 14 hours, you're allowed to drive only 11 of those 14 hours. However, when you start that 14-hour clock, it continues from the time you start for 14 hours. So if you're sitting at a shipper, say you're going to unload, you're stuck at a shipper for 4 hours. Well, now you have 10 hours to drive. Then you get unloaded. You send your unload message in over the Qualcomm. Now you're waiting another hour and a half. So now you're down to 8.5 hours to drive. Now you have the deadhead, which is you drive from where you are to where the load is, and then pick up. So let's just say that takes another, 4 hours. So now you're down to 4.5 hours to drive, okay? You get loaded. So now you ran at that, you know, the loader for an hour and a half to maybe 2 hours, and you're down to 2.5 hours, okay? Now you can only drive two and a half hours. Now you've been up all day. You're not tired because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 10-hour clock starts. And you have from 3 in the afternoon, and then you go ahead 10 hours. So that's what, 3, geez, my math is horrible. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, basically. Let's say 1 o'clock in the morning. You fall asleep at 9. You're not rested. But now you have your dispatcher on the phone. Hey, you got hours. You got to drive. But you're tired, okay? But if you want to make money to feed your family, now you have to drive. Well, that has caused a lot, and I mean a lot, of accidents because these computers are telling us when to drive. Not if you're tired, not, you know, if you're sick, but you have hours. So you got to move.
So ideally, if you could clock in and clock out, like say you get to the loading dock and you clock out and you go and sleep a while, they load your truck and you take a nap.
You can't.
That would be ideal.
But that's the thing. See, you can't do that. That's one of the biggest complaints there also. See, they tell us they want us to be rested. That's the whole deal behind this is safety. But when you're loading or unloading, you have to be on duty.
You have to be on duty, or in a lot of places require you to be on the dock so that you can count the pallets that are going in, count the product that's going in, so that you can verify that you have the proper product and what you're supposed to have on your truck.
Correct.
How you're supposed to rest.
What about like driverless and towboats? Do you think they're trying to screw you guys over to say, see, look, these guys are crashing all the time now. We tried to make them safe with the electronic logging devices, and we can't have truckers crashing all over the place. They don't get enough rest driving. Do you think they might be doing something like push like that?
Autonomous trucks are coming.
Right, they're coming, but see, the joke of it is that the autonomous truck, even though it can drive, it has to have a driver in the vehicle in case of an emergency, the driver can take over. Now, how stupid is that? We're not allowed to drive, but we have to be in the truck in case something happens. What? So you got to be up anyway. So why am I not driving? It's stupid.
And they're making it hard for the truckers to make a living nowadays, folks. And I got to say it again. If you're just tuning in and you live in a house and you have chairs, you have TVs, you have picture frames and a toolbox and a portable table and a chair and a window all came into your house one way or another on a truck. You live in a block home. Many of us have seen the cinder blocks on the back of trucks. They're truckers. Everything from the roof to the foundation comes to your house on a truck and everything inside of it. Think about if you didn't have the trucking. Think about if those guys decide, look, for 2 weeks we're all going to go on vacation at the same time. We're all going to the Bahamas, kick back on the beach. And 25 million truckers show up on the beach and not on the road. And they do it for 2 weeks.
Well,
you have no idea.
Listen to this. You remember I was living in Reno last year, and they've had a lot of snow out there. Reno got snowed out 2 winters ago. I mean, it was an astronomical amount of snow that fell. Well, the roads were all shut down for basically like a week. Okay, there was nothing in the stores. People were starting to panic. Like, well, trucks couldn't get through. We couldn't move. I couldn't leave my house to even go anywhere. And then we go to the store, and there's nothing here. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Trucks aren't moving. Duh, I'm home. Well, everybody else is too. You know, people don't understand that the truckers that you see on the road now, you know, and I hear this a lot, and I have to agree with it to a point. There's a lot of inconsiderate drivers. Well, the reason that is because these industries, they've cut the rates and the pay where you can't really make a living. So what they do, especially these big companies, they train these guys. And their training is, and correct me if I'm wrong, driver, they train, I think, maybe 2 weeks now, okay? And then they set them free. About 2 weeks. I'm about 2 weeks. Now, if you've never driven in the wintertime, okay, and you got an 80,000-pound vehicle with products on the back, you're asking for something bad to happen, okay? But they don't, you know, but the truck drivers are crazy. They don't, well, no, they don't have any experience. The 80% of the industry are drivers that are 2 years or less because the turnover rate is astronomical, okay? If you want a job, you can get a job driving a truck now. You can blink your eyes. And you'll have at least 20 companies calling you tomorrow, recruiting you to go drive a truck. Because there's such a shortage. Yet the shippers and the receivers and the brokers are cutting the rates back so much where it's hard for, especially owner-operators, to make a living because they're cutting the rates so much. It's not that the rates have gone down. The money's still there. The middlemen are taking all the money, and they're not paying the drivers. And we're sick of it. I'm sick of having to having to come home and be home for 3 days and then have to leave because I got bills coming up and I've been gone for 3 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. And now,
the brokers get the money. That's where all the money goes.
Exactly.
There's a couple of events getting ready to take place here in the country. One is up in California on the 15th, am I correct? And then in many other states on the 12th. What's going to happen here on the 12th and the 15th, Chuck?
I really don't know all the plans. There's a few different locations. I know different people shutting down. I know California, which will be on the 15th, will be trucks starting out of L.A. We'll be convoying towards Sacramento, stopping along the way, picking up other drivers along the way, going up to, I believe, Lodi. They're going to meet up Lodi, and then they're going to slow roll into the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And then there's some plans there for the Capitol, and then be moving on from there. But, like, a lot of different locations, a lot of different stuff going on. I don't know the plans for everything. Everybody set up their own little thing going. But, you know, there was a lot of talk throughout all of this of what to do, what could be done, you know. So many people have so many ideas to what they want to do around their state, things like that. So just I've been telling everybody, man, you know, look, be prepared for it. Stock up on stuff.
Yep.
You know, because when these trucks start shutting down, it can be it can end up being pretty bad on everybody. You know, not saying like just if you start running out of stuff, you know what I'm getting at. You need to make sure and stock up. It's no joke. Drivers are getting upset. And April 12th is just the beginning date.
That was the date they came up with to start.
That's when this is all going to start.
And you got the 10-4 rally.
Make sure you have gas in your car, and if you can, get you a couple of 5-gallon things of gas, because it's at a critical juncture. Okay, the government has taken us for granted for far too long, and they're choking the industry, and you know, we're sick of it. You know, we're away from our families. We're bringing things to people who don't appreciate it, and, you know, we're just tired of it. And it's not like we're trying to become rich or millionaires. We just want to be able to make a living, and it's becoming harder and harder every day to do that.
Yep. And, you know, I like to go home and see my family. We sacrificed so much to come out here. I've missed, you know, the birth of my grandkids. I've missed family members' funerals, passed away, you know, things like that, being here. And people don't understand that the death I've seen on the roadways. The carnage and the bodies are mutilated, and you live with that. That sticks in your head all the time. And it's coming out here, you know, it's not just like me messing up. It's the guy next to me, because I know the lack of training out here. I see it every day. You know, am I going to be cruising along, minding my own business, heading to my destination, and I lose my life because somebody ain't trained properly, because somebody wants to stick you behind the wheel of a 80,000-pound killing machine? You know,
cutting us off, brake checking us. No, you don't understand that. If I have
passing
to make
on
a
the
choice
right.
between, right, you know, if I have to make a choice between harming you because you're an idiot, and I hate to say it this way, but this is the truth. If I have to harm you to get home to my family, I'm going to harm you, and I don't want to do that.
Yep.
You know, that's the last thing anybody wants to do. You know, I don't want to have to live with the fact that somebody cut in front of me because they were, you know, 20 feet from their exit and decided to cut me off. I'm not slamming on my brakes. I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to cry, but I'm going home to my family. You know, and
that's
a choice that, you know, that we're forced to make daily. You know, and it's something that I see it all too often.
How dangerous is it when somebody passes on the right, say at 10 o'clock at night, after a long day?
You can't see them. That's the thing. You're about, let's say, if you're in your chair, you're probably a good 8 feet off the ground. Okay, then you have your truck space from your seat to the right. And you only have that mirror. Well, that mirror has blind spots. Okay, I check them. However, if you're flying and you're passing me and I don't see you, and someone does something and I have to move over because I think I have space because last time I checked there was no one there, and I come over and I don't see you, well, you know, they tell you you're not supposed to pass a truck on the right-hand side, but people just, they don't think, you know, it's all about getting where I got to go first.
Chuck, I got to tell you something funny one time, all right?
Yeah.
I know Paul a long time now, and he was probably in the early stages of his trucking career. He was out there in the middle of nowhere, and a deer wound up in the passenger seat. Paul, tell that story, man. That was unbelievable.
I was driving, and I think it was like three or four deer ran out, and I hit one, and it bounced over the hood, through the windshield, and ended up in the passenger seat. It was just unreal.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. And it didn't die.
It was alive. It was
my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
That happened.
he called me from the side of the road like, you won't believe what just happened. Oh, my God.
That's one thing. When you're out here putting out miles down, you see a lot of crazy shit happens out here.
You know? Well, what's the craziest thing that you've experienced, Chuck, while you're out on the road? No, something silly. I don't want to hear like devastation. Something that was funny. Let's laugh. I don't want to hear about.
Well, that's what I'm trying to think of. I see so much devastation. Yeah. I've never had much to laugh about.
Right.
Oh, I'd have to think about it, man.
You must have seen something kind of funny at a truck stop or something once. Here, check this out. Ready? I'm gonna do this to you guys. Here you go. Let's see if it works.
Okay.
And a 1-2.
Right.
I always got to get that commercial onto YouTube. You know what I mean? And YouTube commercial. There you go.
Yeah, Breaker 19. This here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, big fan? Come on. Yeah, 10 more big fan for sure.
That's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. First,
these
things alive.
Oh, boy.
Good. There
we go. Hey.
It was a dark moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth full of logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We was heading for bear on this is Big Ben, this here's a rubber duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Man, what a great movie.
Yeah, I love that one, White Line Fever.
Oh, yeah.
White Line Fever is a good one.
Very good.
Oh, boy. Well, you know.
If you lose me, our power just went out here. That's why I wasn't able to rewatch as soon as we got the storms and stuff, and our Wi-Fi keeps going in and out.
Yeah, I'm not going to service again.
I hope you enjoyed that song anyway, because that's one of my favorites from way back in the hockey.
Love that.
Oh, yes.
That's more good, buddy. We got ourselves a convoy. That's great. Breaker 19.
I'm going to tell you there's nothing. There is nothing better than running with a bunch of your buddies, man, sitting on the CB, man, just talking crap in miles, man. That's awesome.
It sure is.
That passes the time and helps you guys get through the long runs, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I told somebody, you know, I've been hit up, like, I've done quite a few of the slow rolls, been in a couple of the convoys. I got to do, last year I did the truck show there in Joplin, Guilty by Association, and they do it for their charity is the Special Olympics. So I got to get in the convoys, and I actually got to take one of the athletes, one of the Special Olympic athletes with me and ride. And I tell a lot of these guys, when you get involved in that, dude, you don't understand the feeling you get. You know what I mean? It's an awesome feeling, man, to get out here and do that kind of stuff. And even like doing the slow rolls, getting out, and the people you'll hear come over the radio, and you get a lot of criticism for it, a lot of bashing, but then a lot of people understand what's going on, and, you know, it's awesome.
Well,
it's like coming out and driving a big truck. It really, it's I think about one of the best. I don't. Well, now it's becoming a job, you know, it's been a way of life, but now it's more becoming a job. It ain't as fun like, you know, back in the days. And,
yeah.
But
like when we first started, it's not the same.
I got the greatest window view of an office view. You know what I mean?
Right. You're on some of the most beautiful open roads, I'm sure, sometimes cruising across like the Midwest at sunset, you know?
Man, there's, I'm going to tell you, man, and I know my fellow driver here knows what I'm talking about. You get off the interstate, and you get on some of the state roads, and you run the back country, and you know, you see the state, you know, you pass by some of these farms, man, and you pass by, you know, just some of these houses, and it's just, man, you know, America is just so awesome. It really is just so awesome.
That's what I talk about. When you're on the interstate, it's all the same. You might go from state to state, buildings be a little bit different, but look at corporate America. It's all the same on the interstate. Get off the interstate. Find you a back road. Get a two-lane. And really see America. See what's out.
You know, stop at some of these little mom-and-pop places, man, and have a meal and talk to the locals, man, and see what they do. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. I love stopping places, little, you know, hole-in-the-wall places, and stopping and getting something to eat and just talking to the locals, man, and, you know, and just... You know, we're such a great country, and I'm blessed that I have a job where I can get out and I can experience it on a daily basis, man. I mean, it's really great.
Well, folks, I got to say, look here in the future for Patriot Nation Radio on the road from Mount Rushmore with Paul Barco and Patriot Nation Radio Network live.
Oh, yeah. I've invited you to come with me. We got to make that happen.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Mount Rushmore, you know me, I'm all patriotic all the time with my flags. You see my flags there on the live feed. You know, love God, country, and family. God, family, God, country, however the saying goes. I love all of them. They're great. Without them, there's no me. You know?
That's it.
No.
You know,
sorry,
but,
folks.
My family
split on my spot, you know. I can't remember things like I used to. It's pretty crazy.
In all seriousness, though, man. I'm very glad that you had this topic, man, because, you know, a lot of people really don't understand what we go through is with these regulations and with these ELDs and what they're designed to do. They're designed to drive the driver out so that the companies can make, you know, maximize their profits. You know, it's becoming less about, you know, how it used to be back in the day. You know, it was a big brotherhood family, and a lot of the owners, they knew all their drivers by name. They knew their kids. You know, they knew their wives. They had their phone numbers. You could call them. You could speak to them. Now you're just a number.
Right, and that's kind of where it is. Everywhere you go now, you're just a number. My job now, I got this little badge. I got to swipe in, bling. You know, I got a number 27 inmate 2731. That's what they make you feel like sometimes.
Like.
I work in corporate America. I work for Bosch, and they are a world national corporation. Thank goodness they're leaving. They're leaving at the end of the year. I don't know if I have a job at the end of the year. I'm not worried about the end of the year anyway. But right now we're corporate, and it is a drag. I had we had an event here in Spring Hill with the Trump Unity Bridge, and I got this little sticker. It's a little tiny sticker. It's about an inch and a half by three. And I had it there on my bench. I never peeled it off and stuck it tonight. I just had it on my bench, and I got a verbal warning for it. And they told me I had to take it off the premises. Corporate America. Somebody was offended.
Wow, you were offending someone? Jesus Christ.
I was melting a snowflake. I got a friend also here in Florida from Jacksonville. He's Royale. And his website is Trigger Nation, because he likes to go around triggering liberals with his Trump shirts, NRA shirts, Trump hats, NRA hats, Republicans, you know, all the conservative things. And he really just goes out there on purpose with his stuff to go, you know, look, you're and then he talks to them like, why do you get so mad? Why are you so mad? Calm down, settle down, talk like a person. And they can't. They're nuts. These people, they went crazy. And they can't even have a little sticker on your workbench. Sad. Very sad. I'm going to get a bunch of Bernie stuff because he seems to be the front runner right now. At 850 years old, he's going to run for president. I remember back in the day, John McCain.
God, he got shafted.
John McCain was like 68 years old, and he was too old. He was too old to run. But if it's a Democrat, they could be 450. They could be freaking Vlad coming back from the dead to run the country. 850 years old with a wooden stake in his heart. If he's a Democrat,
hey,
he's in.
wheel him into the floor in a wheelchair, man. Life support system with an IV bag on. Can you vote? He said I.
Yeah, right. Hey, you do know asking for ID for voting is racist now. Come on. You know, if you ask for ID,
yeah,
you're a racist. Got ID to vote for president, the most highest important office in the country? You're a racist. You asked me for ID? Oh, my God.
Mark, we all know I'm racist.
I watch like three laps of NASCAR every year. I'm a racist.
I know, right?
But I'm an ass.
Yes.
I'm an amateur racist. I only watch three laps. It's all I can take. Look, they made a left. Look, he made another left. Oh my God, he's in the third left, and he's in the wall.
I gotta tell this story. This is important to me. When I first met Mark, I was working with his wife Bianca. I was a chef, and we had an incident with one of our cooks, and he was messing with this girl who happened to be an old lady of a pretty big biker club down here. I'm not going to mention who they are. So they came to our restaurant. I mean, they had the whole area. And when I say closed off, I mean they had it closed off. You weren't getting in or out. And they surrounded me. And they were going to jump and beat the shit out of me if I didn't tell them. Excuse my language. I didn't mean to curse. I'm sorry. And they were going to beat the crap out of me. And the only person that stood up for me, everybody that claimed that they were my friends, and there was at least 50 guys on bikes, full patch members. Mark was the only one that stood up for me. And I talked to the leader of these guys, and I told him that I wasn't getting involved in it, and I didn't want to see him as a man go to prison over a woman doing something stupid. This guy, and Mark seen it, gave me a coin, and it had on it, member of the KKK and good standing. And that man looked me in my face and shook my hand and told me I changed his life talking to him that day. So when I hear someone tell me that my friend is a racist, I laugh because I'm like, he was the only white guy that stood up with a bunch of other biker white guys for this black man that was going to get pummeled because he wouldn't snitch.
That's it. That's what you got to do. I got your six, brother, always.
So that's the kind of man that you guys listen to. He doesn't talk the talk, he walks the walk. Never forget that.
And that's just me, man. And I know you got me. And that's why
always,
all these years later, we're still friends. Through thick and thin. Thick and thin means thick and thin.
You still got to get in the truck, though. I think you're scared.
I'm gonna be the second driver in Paul's truck when they fire me in January. You're fired.
Hey, you always got a job with me. I got you.
So you got April 15th in California. They'll be setting up a convoy run down to the capital of California on April 15th. And on April 12th will be a slow roll in a bunch of places across the country, folks. Just be prepared. Luckily, I live here in the Sunshine State where hurricanes come around, and we have certain things on hand at all times. So hopefully you have certain things on hand at all times, too. Don't wait for a disaster or for the trucks to go, you know what, we're taking a vacation. We're not going to come to town this week. Don't wait for it. 4/12. Guess what? Today is 4/8. You only got a couple days. Get ready. Guys, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. It's really important to bring this issue up and let folks know with the plight of the truckers and what they're going through to try to put some food on the table. I know someone like me, I love the truckers because I understand. I've been in shipping. I've been in receiving. I've talked to a lot of truck drivers, and my good friend Paul's been driving trucks for a long, long time. And I understand the importance, and I need the rest of these people in this place to understand the importance of the truckers. They are extremely important to our nation. So I want to thank Chuck for coming on tonight, and Paul, it looks like we lost Chuck. He dropped off. He's driving right now. He's on the road, actually. So
okay.
I'm sure I heard some of the road noise in the background. And he's probably in some little back road because he's a back road trucker. you know.
That's where the best of it is.
So, folks, I got to tell you, this Thursday is going to be one unbelievable show. As you know, the movie Unplanned is out. Go see Unplanned. I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for it to come to the Fire Stick. I don't like going to the movie theater too much. You know, popcorn, candy, you go there, it's like three people go to the movie theater, and it's like $900 when you're done. You know, and now Paul's four people. Congratulations, Paul. And
thank you.
Folks, just prayers for the family, for Paul's family. That's all. Just pray for Paul and his family that they are happy and healthy and comfortable. They just had a new baby, and she's a beautiful bundle of joy. And we pray for all he is, man. Peace. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate
it. Back to what I was saying. Unplanned, the movie come out. It came out on the 29th. Claire Colwell is the survivor of a botched abortion. She was with twins. She was one of two twins back in like 1977, and her mom at the time was 13 years old, and her family took her in and said, "That's it, you know, we're doing this." Well, they didn't know it was twins, and they got one baby, and you know, Claire's mom went home and I don't feel right and thing this, that, and the other thing. They went back to the doctor and they said, "Oh my God, we missed one. But now we can't do it because now the mother will be at risk." And so Claire was born. Well, she's coming on Thursday with her birth mother live on the Patriot Nation radio show to talk about the horrors of abortion and why it needs to be. I do believe at this point in time we will never see the end of it. It's way too deep. And in some instances, it may be necessary. I don't think so. I'm not a fan of it in any way, shape, or form. I'm all for these heartbeat bills that people are coming out with. I believe when the heart starts, it's life. When the heart stops, it's death. It's pretty simple. Some say, well, you know, once a cell divides, that's life. It's already alive. The cells are dividing. But, it's a fetus at that point when it's two cells, four cells, eight cells, 10 cells, billions. Bam, baby. You know? But the heartbeat.
I have to sign
still,
up to
baby's
crying.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you can tune in this Thursday for the botched abortion survivor and her mom. Crazy, crazy story. We're fighting this part of the industry, too. God bless, and I'll talk to you soon, Paul. Thanks. Boss? Oh, well, the wife and son are home, and I got to wrap this show up. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time. I'm 2 minutes over. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and don't forget the show is Thursday, 8 p.m., right after A Conservative Perspective with James Bostic. And right now it's The National Anthem by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get you a copy today, and you can have your very own version, this version right here, Star Spangled Banner. Until we meet again Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good night. God bless you. God bless me. Uh-oh. We got it. It's loading. It's buffering. There you have it, folks. That's DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get you a copy today. And we had a couple other things on the calendar also. We got Brian Terry, border guard Brian Terry. His brother Kent will be on the show on a special night, Wednesday, April 17th, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You remember Brian Terry? He was the border guard gunned down by the illegal gun-running scheme Fast and Furious weapons that President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder led across the border to track drug cartels. Well, it flopped, it failed, and Brian Terry wound up dead. Kent Terry, his brother, will be on the show Wednesday, 8 p.m., the 17th of April, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I've almost forgot about that one. I'm going to make sure that everybody hears that. I got other shows coming, too, but I'm always talking, and I got so much going on, I don't put it always on the calendar, but stay tuned. That's right. Kent Terry, Brian Terry, border guard, murdered with Fast and Furious illegal guns run to the Mexican cartel by the Obama administration. So until we meet again, folks, good night. God bless you. God bless America. Hallelujah. God is great. Easter's coming. The day of salvation. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. See you later, folks. Peace. Oh, you know what? And don't forget to check out my good friend, Tamisha Pruitt-Ray, Saturday nights, 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Central on Facebook Live. Tamisha Pruitt doing great stuff. Good night. God bless you. God bless America. Peace.